I think that our music is awesome.
I think you're awesome.
Thank you. I think you're awesome.
Is that a $12 shirt or a $16 shirt?
16. I'm moving on up. Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Dave and Melina Boswell from New Wealth Advisors Club. And in the studio today, we have a guest that's been here, gosh, several times. We were just speaking about Mr. Peter Vanderlyn. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
Pete in the house.
In the house.
So here we are. Happy anniversary, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
I guess there's no such thing as coincidence, but here we are recording this and dropping this on your 5-year anniversary of first joining the club.
That is correct, yeah.
That's incredible. Like, as if we planned it.
Right. we didn't and had no idea. We were simply talking about who we're going to interview this week or feature, if you will. And Peter came up because of, all the, we'll share with you more, but all the different goals and different things that he had been talking about over years. And we had a really deep conversation last week with him, and maybe a little fine tuning, maybe a little slapping around, little whatever you want to call it.
Pruning.
Very good. Very
good. Little pruning. We can talk about that. But yeah. if you're new to this podcast and you haven't listened to us before, go back and there's a really great one that's about a lead in 2013. It's episode number 2, and it's called Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Dead men tell no tales.
I guess it's Halloween, so it's, I guess it's
appropriate.
Appropriate. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, anyways, that was about a lead that you actually made no money on.
That is correct.
Right.
Actually, in the end of it all, we spent money to have a mobile notary take care of and sign the documents that had to be done to fix the situation she was in.
Yeah. So we did that on episode 2. So this podcast isn't always about, coming in here and flipping houses, and you don't always make money on every single lead that you get. And sometimes it's just about, it's always about putting the homeowner in a better situation than you found him. And that was a really great, great podcast that's had a ton of awesome feedback on it. So here we are today, going to be talking about 5 years, and maybe you can kind of share, Peter, because we were just talking about how we we're doing this business day in and day out, the life of an entrepreneur, day in and day out, and sometimes we get stuck in all the stuff of being that entrepreneur, right?
Right, the mire, if you will.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then sometimes when you're stuck, you don't recognize. And I'm speaking to myself in this exact same conversation. I mean, Melina and I have certainly been through this at different times. And you're 5 years into this, and you had some goals, right? And why don't you share what some of those goals were? I know you shared with Melina a long time ago what some of those things you wanted to accomplish.
Right.
And then I'm sure, honey, you can kind of chime in about those conversations you've had along the way.
Yes, for sure.
Well, I mean, it all started off initially with lead generation goals, like, hey, I need to have so many conversations at so many different time periods in order to produce any type of results. So first, my initial goal was like, hey, I just want to have a conversation because, I was not very open. I was not very personable when I first started this business. It was very hard for me to have a conversation with somebody I didn't know. Like, my whole thing, when my coach first took me out, I was like, dude, I'm not getting out of the car. For real. If this is what I have to do, I'm not going to do this. And we kind of got stuck in a spot where, hey, you know what? This is what I need to do. I realized that there's some changes that need to happen in me as a person, as an adult, as a husband. And in order to do that, I'm just going to have to break through some of the things that are holding me back. And I have to attribute a lot of that to watching yours and Melina's process and the guidance that you guys have helped me go under. You mentioned you're talking to yourself. Part of my direction or part of my influence to push through it was watching you go through part of that process. But in the end, still persevering and pushing through. And a lot of the times I've asked myself over the last couple of years of this journey, hey, what would Dave Boswell do at this moment? And it was a sense of, hey, you know what? It's the right thing. No matter who benefits or who takes a loss, the right thing is going to get done. Mm-hmm. And that's something that over the last 5 years has been really hard for me to transition to. But once I really fully adopted and lived into that mentality, that's when my business started taking off. And we started setting, okay, well, here's numerical financial goals. And once we have this in the bank, it means this. And then, okay, once we have that, we want to buy a house. Part of our thing was initially, I was sick of the drive. I lived in LA County and was driving all the time. And as I started getting more and more in this business and having an office and stuff to go to, I purposed myself to, hey, I want to find a spot closer to the office. And my wife was like, well, hell, we've been married almost 10 years and we've moved 7 different times. And like her and I were just figuring this out the other night. Like, this is the 7th place we've lived since we've got married 10 years ago. So part of her thing was, hey, if we're going to move, then we need to buy a house. Mm. And I says, well, if we're going to buy a house, I'm not going to qualify by myself because I run my own business and my life is my business. So I don't make a lot of money is the way it looks on paper because of the way.
Sure. Write-offs and so forth.
Right. So it's very hard to qualify as a self-employed person. Mm-hmm. Well, we've met our financial goal that meant you could quit your job, but you've got to keep your job to meet our goal to
buy a house.
So that was kind of where some of our sitting down and planning and numbers and days. And then once we reached that goal, it was, okay, now you can quit your job. And now it's like, hey, I'm working on other projects and learning this business and doing other parts of it. And now she's showing interest of wanting to get involved and help me behind the scenes and be much more of a helpmate in that place. So
slow down a second. So
yeah.
So meeting that goal, meaning you actually just acquired your first house, the house you're living in, your primary residence now.
Correct, yes.
And you bought that and you didn't pay full retail and go buy an agent and drive around and try to find a, you know, a house that was already done and brought to market.
No, that was actually part of my intention of door knocking in the neighborhood I wanted to live. Was I was not only looking for deals, but looking for a house that would be the perfect deal in being able to buy it and my profit literally be equity.
Mm. So instead of cashing out the profit, the profit's now living in the house that you bought under market value and then did the work yourself ultimately or hired out different parts of that to be able to get into your own house at a deeper discount with some equity.
Correct. And yeah. The really cool thing about it is that initially we didn't know it was the house I was going to buy. I was treating it like any other potential lead, talking to the homeowner, serving them, walk them through the loan modification process. Once they got denied, had them come in and meet with Melina. Mm-hmm. And once we realized, hey, selling is the best option. Originally it wouldn't have been a deal, so to say, but mm-hmm. because I was coming in, I was able to qualify for traditional financing. We were going to live there. I did have some relationships that I've made with contractors and workers to come in and do good work.
At reasonable prices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, is that what we teach or something?
I feel like it is. I was just thinking, you know, just maybe rewinding a tad bit, thinking about, for me, one of the more pointed moments of your journey was, I can remember asking you, because I remember when we very first met, your number one goal was to get Ada out of her job, period. Like, you wanted her to be able to leave her job. And so I remember asking you one day, like, I don't know why, I just asked you randomly, like, so what's the number? Do you know the number? And you kind of looked at me like, yeah. And I kind of knew you would hit that number.
The number meaning?
Yeah.
How much money he needs in the bank or yes. how much money you need to make to... Because she was in retail for like 20-something years or something?
17, yeah. 17 she worked years. The same job her entire life. It's the only job she's ever had. Mind you, the company went from... It was bought out sure. by somebody, but she stayed in the same job.
For 17 years.
17 years, yeah.
And so the you had a number in your mind.
Yeah.
And Melina had to prompt you to...
Yeah, I kind of knew, you know, but I just... I knew that he had... met that goal. Mm. You know, I knew that because I believe this. I think that it's a great idea to retire like somebody out of their job or get somebody out of their job, right? Or people, I hear people say things like, oh, I want to help my parents retire. That's a great goal. But if you don't know what that actually takes, then it's just an idea. It's a dream, right? It, yep. it can't ever really be a goal. So I remember saying, do you know the number? What is the number that it's going to take, the amount of money in the bank for you to be able to get Ada out of her job? And in my mind, I already knew the answer, but it was more of a prompting question, I suppose, because my number one goal is, you know, like the whole person, So I knew you were doing really well at your job, or, you know, in your business. I knew you were making money. I knew at this point you're gonna be probably doing this forever. You're an entrepreneur. You've got it. And so in my mind, one of the most important things is what's happening behind the scenes in your family life. You know, your marriage, in my mind, is the most important relationship that you have. And I know that when you have one person working at a, you know, regular job, and then you're the entrepreneur, like, your lives are so not connected, and it's very easy to become, you know, two separate lives or roommates and not really understanding what's happening with the other. So my concern has always been that you have the ability to get Ada home. And when I asked you that and you said, yeah, and I just kind of looked at you like, I feel like you made that.
Yeah, that was, I actually remember that time in your office. Yeah. And it was, I mean, the number was always 50,000. It was an idea of, okay, that's more than an annual salary. You've got 6 to a year to get things done. Right. Like, at this pace, with what you have going on, with what's in your pipeline, if you can maintain that, that's the number. And it was, once that number was hit, it was like, okay, well, we didn't make plans after that. We just said that was our goal. So then we had to sit down and go, okay, well,
now what?
Now we can move.
Right. Oh, gosh.
Well, that was when the idea came, well, okay, well, if we're going to move, well, then you need to stay. And exactly. That was when we're like, okay, like, I'll never forget the time that I'm sitting in my office and Ada called and she's like, hey, can I put in my 2 weeks notice today?
I remember that.
And I literally, like, froze. And in my mind, I went, okay, health insurance we're losing. Okay, I've got to replace this. I've got to figure out how to do this, all of this. And in her mind, she heard the hesitation, and she's like, oh, like.
Sorry.
Yeah, and I was like, no. Like, inside, I was, like, jumping for joy, because there was a part of me that just says, she believes in me.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I heard when she said, can I quit my job? It was, because mind you, when I first started this, there was a year of pruning, a year of massive character change that had to happen in order for this. So she's getting up, going to work, thinking that I'm sitting at home playing in my underwear on the computer,
right,
making offers and doing personal development stuff. So there's that level of resentment.
Of course.
And then to hear her go, hey, like, can I do the one thing that I've been wanting to do and so afraid to do and step up and do? Is that okay? But what was really cool is when she heard that hesitation and we started talking, she realized, well, maybe it's not the right time right now, but at least she had entered that mentality of it now being a potential reality.
That's like so huge. I mean, I know that there's people listening to this podcast right now that are experiencing exactly, like, they're still stuck in the, or maybe not stuck, but maybe they're just in the season of their significant other having resentment toward them for this, you know, adventure or journey or whatever you want to call it that the other person is embarking on. And it's really not easy. It's very, very difficult. So, and it's difficult on both people. So I really love what you just said. Like, I love that you just said what you heard her say was that she believes in you. That's,
well, that's a big deal. And we hear it a lot.
Yes.
Because a lot of people find us after they've been down the journey of, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be in real estate. So they go to, you know, I hate to say traditional route, but it's kind of the only option that's out there, right? You get online and you find seminars and webinars and go to hotel rooms and conferences. And then you buy classes and then you're kind of on your own. And we hear a lot of spouses or significant others, you know, that are reluctant.
Yes.
And probably rightfully so.
Sure. I mean, absolutely.
People spend a lot of money chasing this dream.
Yep.
You know, and then people are selling people dreams.
Absolutely.
And,
that's,
you know,
it's the worst.
We don't sell a dream.
No.
You know, like, there's no, like, this is hard work. And it's rewarding, you know, if you're willing to put in the work, but it's hard work. And so rightfully so, when we hear spouses say, hey, you know, I'm apprehensive because he or she, you know, they tried this before and they tried that before.
Yep.
You know, and what that really says is they tried by, you know, they paid whatever the financial cost was.
Right.
Right.
But nobody really told them, like, the work that needs to be done.
Right.
Right.
And you just heard Peter say, for a year, I was sitting in my underwear working on personal development and making offers.
Right.
Right. And
that's studying class material, learning, like, going over what I'm supposed to know. Mind you, I was still afraid to have a conversation. So I'm rehearsing, like, coming from a theater background and things like that. Like, I'm rehearsing, okay, this is what I'm supposed to say when they say this. Not even attempting to really be present in the conversation, but, hey, I just need to check the box because when I knock on the door, I'm...
Right. So.
Yeah. It's like learning an entirely new language, right?
Absolutely.
It really
I mean,
is.
It's literally like I went to school. Mind you, I was like in pre-med and going really taking organic chemistry, calculus, physics, biology classes. And I feel like I've gotten a higher quality of education and a much better ability to use that information in the last 5 years that I've invested dealing in learning this business, but not only, like you said, being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest part for her and I, is I had failed things before when I tried to launch a website and great ideas and not having any idea how to manage, like thinking I can do it all my own. And it was, oh no, I need a developer. Okay, well, I'll just go to school and take a side class to learn how to develop. Holy crap, that's really hard. Like, that's what, no, I'm going to, I don't have money to pay somebody to do that. Well, I guess that dream's closed. So.
That's huge. Yeah. That's really, really big.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. weird. The everything he just said, and I just had this flashback, and I don't know how we didn't get your permission to really talk about any of this stuff, but like, I remember Sunday of, you know, standing in our you know, whatever you want to call it, our training facility at the office, and you know, you're on your way out, and I just remember you. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't get your permission to share.
Full disclosure, yeah.
But, you know.
You mean 5 years ago?
5 years ago. Yeah.
5 years ago.
Sorry,
his first 3-day training.
The end of our first initial 3 days of training.
Yeah.
So, which we still do, initial 3 days of training, right? And
I actually get to teach on that day now.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
Right?
Yeah.
From, you know, being there, but you were broken at that time. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I've been broken a good portion of my life. I was definitely on the rebound. I was definitely in a spot where, like, I'd hit rock bottom. I'd hit places where, like, I don't ever want to go again. And it was just the place that I was coming from and the place that I was at in my own walk, in my own life, in my own spirituality. Like, it was just felt too good to be true. And that was, like, where my biggest – because I knew it was where I needed to be. I knew it was where life was taking me. And I just didn't believe it. Like, it was, I couldn't rectify that with everything that had come before it.
Yeah. I remember you saying something to the effect of, and correct me if I'm wrong, because we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but something to the effect of, and at the end of 3 days, like, please tell me that this is real, because I don't think I can take, you know, another heartbreak, another, you know, betrayal, another something in my life. Was that?
Yeah, exactly. It was very much along the lines like, hey, this is everything I've ever wanted, everything I've ever been looking for. Like, it better be real.
Right. Otherwise, I'm done.
Yeah, like literally, like postal, I was at the place where I was fully surrendered to a place. And it's like, you know what, Lord, if this is where you're leading me, then I'm here. If not, then I've just absolutely been betrayed and everything I believe is a lie.
Wow.
Man, how many people live there?
I
think a lot of people live there. Mm. I don't think that – I know you are not alone in that place. I just don't think everybody has enough courage to, you know, share that clearly, right? Because it's –
or they're not clear themselves.
That could be. Yeah. Maybe they don't even have the ability to articulate it in the way that, you know, Peter is obviously intelligent and articulate. But for you to be able to put that into words – And really, like, look Dave straight in the face and just say it to him was a really big deal.
Well, and every time I tell that story, I always specify that you looked me dead in my eyes, man to man, like exactly what needed to happen in that moment. Because every other person that would have turned their back, that would have been shining a gold smile, would not have been able to maintain the intensity of the glare that we exchanged that day.
Right.
And I said, this dude is for real, and I'm jumping in, nesty plunge, head first. Better not break my neck because I'm swimming.
Nesty plunge. Yes.
And so everybody hears this clearly, because I don't want this to sound like this is some sort of, you know, rainbow, and at the end of it there's this pot of gold, and like, you know, if I can just get over that hump, then there's just going to be perfect and so forth. You know, last week we had a conversation, because we can just say it, you know, Peter was kind of, we'll call it in a valley maybe, or I don't know, just for the sake of time, we can, you know, we'll just call it that. And you know, you reached out and said, I need help, and I, you know, I'm stuck. And he's stuck in being an entrepreneur. I mean, it's really what it came down to. Like, he's running, you know, he's bought his own house and fixing that one up. He's got two other fix and flips happening at the same time. He's coaching, you know, new students in that fix and flip. That fix and flip has no other mentors in it. There's nobody else really. I mean, I've been there a couple of times and maybe gave you a couple of pointers here or there, but really you took it on yourself.
He is the mentor.
Yeah. If I'm actually honest with everyone, this is one that I brought to you and you said, hey, you wouldn't do that deal.
Yeah.
And looking at it and looking at your plate and everything, I says, yeah, he couldn't, he wouldn't.
Right.
Because the spread is, it doesn't match what you need right now for your deals.
Right.
And looking at it and sitting down and using some of the creative strategies that we've talked about and that I've learned and
yeah.
getting some of the students involved and being that exactly how it worked out, I was like, you know what? I think I can take this one on.
Mm-hmm.
And do I regret it? Not at all. I think it's going to be a great deal. I'm absolutely amazed and super excited about what it's going to be like when it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all the things that you said could go wrong are going wrong.
Yeah.
What's really cool is there hasn't been any like major emergencies. Like it's
right.
been things that, hey, either a phone call or, hey, you know what? I haven't experienced this. How do I handle it?
Right.
And it was, okay, do this, do this, do this.
Right.
And it's been a huge learning experience. It's definitely boosted my confidence to being able to handle things.
Sure.
But at the same time, coupled with remodeling our old place that we moved out of and fix and flipping our place, it was a lot for me to handle at one time.
Yeah. Right. Right. And then that juggling act of being able to prioritize what do I need to do? And then even, like you said, pruning. So the pruning process, right, which none of us like.
No, right. Pruning sucks.
we don't painful. Like, right? But when we talk about pruning, those of you that we're talking about really like with trees, you know, we prune them, you know, in the wintertime because, you know, we want them to produce fruit come spring and summer, right? So we cut the branches down and it actually hurts the tree,
mm-hmm.
right? It hurts the tree. The tree, you know, bleeds. And then, but the roots ultimately go down and get stronger. The foundation, yeah. that tree's stronger so it can endure the seasons it's going to go through and the weather it's going to be challenged with and so forth. And then it can ultimately produce fruit that allows us to eat off that tree, right? So Peter's kind of went through that pruning process, you know, in 5 years. It's not too bad. You haven't been through it too much. And made a bunch of money along the way. Got your wife out of her job now. She works with you day in and day out. I'm certain she's helped you on the projects you're working on right now.
Yeah, it was actually cool. She got really hands-on on our place. Like she says, like she did all the caulking on the baseboards and the door jams and the everything there. So she's becoming a little bit more handy, and I can see just little things in her confidence. Like she's much more open to talking to people. She's mm-hmm. much more just jovial to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been awesome, I mean, to say. Mind you, we're still kind of in limbo with she... My whole thing is, look, I would love for her to come alongside and, like, do this business and get involved. But more importantly, my heart says I want her to find something that she's passionate about.
Yeah.
Like, I found where I belong. I found what I'm going to do, who mm-hmm. I'm going to be. And I just think now is a time for her to finally decide, hey, what do I really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm encouraging her to find that spot. And if it's with me doing this, great. If it's with her having a garden in the backyard and learning about pruning herself,
mm-hmm.
more power to her.
That's so amazing. Like, you know, that is like the, to me, that is the ultimate, you're in the best possible position for you to be able to say to your wife, go find what you're passionate about and whatever it is you are, that's all you want. I mean, yeah. What marriage doesn't need that? Like exactly every marriage needs that.
Yeah.
Right? Every relationship. So it's like, that's really incredible. It's important to stop and think about that. Remember that.
Yeah. You know, one of the trainings we're doing, you know, cause we do the, you know, monthly club meeting. And one of the trainings that we're, you know, outlining is like our time management and goal setting. Will be, you know, we're in the last quarter in, you know, 2017 here. So we'll be looking at our own forecasts in 2018 and those kinds of things. And I know Peter said before, you know, I didn't write down any of my goals,
mm-hmm.
right? I didn't have anything written down. These things were just kind of, you know, I spoke them,
right.
You know, I might let somebody know, but, you know, one of the things I think we would encourage everybody to do is, you know, write down these goals. And like Melina said, like, what's the number?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we went through this experience ourselves when we retired your parents.
Yep.
You know, and you know, Melina's, you know, dad, and ultimately he's passed from cancer and his battle with cancer. But I remember like sitting down with him and he's like going to work every day,
yeah.
you know, and on chemo.
Yes.
And it was all about like, you know, well, I can't retire because I need healthcare, you know, and we're like, okay, well, how much is that healthcare? And then, you know, your mom, you know, she's in suffering with Alzheimer's and, you know, what's that going to take? And I remember us sitting down and just being like, hey, the numbers, I think it was $3,000 a month they needed, you know, and we're like, okay, so we need to make $3,000 extra a month and they can retire and retire to ultimately battle, you know, cancer and your mom, you know, being able to not work anymore and help him out during that time. And we had to sit down and figure out, like, what's that number, you know?
Like, and it turned out it was completely doable.
Right. Yeah, that it wasn't some...
No, it wasn't like...
ambiguous kind of maybe someday kind of sort of...
Right.
We had to crunch the numbers and figure out how can we make that money and can we make it happen? And ultimately we did.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? And that, it was probably one of the most educational experiences and probably the most life-changing experiences for me personally to have was the idea that, you know, it's such a lofty goal. And how many people say, I would love to be able to retire my wife. I would love to be able to retire my parents. But most of us don't ever actually back into what does that mean.
Right. And I myself am admitting that I didn't crunch all the numbers and didn't count for everything.
Right.
But at the same time, if I would have, it would have prevented me from just stepping out and doing it.
That's actually great. I think it's really funny because you did have the number of 50,000.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to say the number, but I knew that you were there. So I remember looking at you going, so what are you doing? Right. It's because it's almost as if you picked a number like that just seemed like, okay, maybe when we get 50 grand in the bank,
right.
You know,
I don't really
like
it.
Yeah. Like, you know, quote 50 grand, yeah. You know, might as well be $10 billion. Like it seemed, did it seem kind of like really
lofty?
Not,
absolutely.
Yeah. Lofty. Like maybe not even really, you know, not even attainable. Like, yeah, it's lofty, not really attainable. So let's just throw 50.
An extra 50.
Yeah. Like kind of like it's almost, like, oh, whatever. Cause they say I have to have a number. That's the number. Okay. Crap. We have the number. Now what?
Right.
It was actually way above. Cause I remember we did 5 deals together in 1 year and, there was, I mean, you had the number down to the penny.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to laugh and joke about this, but it was, 86,000 or something?
Once it was, split.
Yeah, we split it, and your half and Melina's half were 86,000-something dollars a piece, and it's like, and literally you had it down to the penny.
Yeah.
And I remember talking about that because he had it down to the penny because he was figuring out his taxes.
Yeah, when we first, because it was 2015. It was right at the end of 2015 was when 2016 is when I incorporated and had to, I did my own taxes because I didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, I do well under pressure. Give me deadlines and I'll perform.
Like an awesome entrepreneur that you are.
So that
is an excellent trait that most of us have.
It was like, oh no, taxes are due. I have not planned at all. I have all my receipts like I was taught. Now I have to go through them all. So it was kind of like self auditing myself, and that was when I came to the realization, like, oh wow, like that number's there.
Oh boy, what am I gonna do now?
And then the scary part was, this was when we were going to Hawaii last year, is when all of this started taking place. It was like, wait a minute, like I'm about to dump all of my own money and fund my own deal, and then all that's like not gonna be there for a little bit. Knowing that it was like gonna go in like almost double, but it was like that's not gonna be there.
That little security blanket, the little nest egg.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did go to Hawaii, too.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
When's the last time you took a vacation with Ada prior to that?
Prior to that, we usually get about one a year that's like a good...
I feel like you had like 4 this year.
Yeah, we've had a lot. We're actually going back to Hawaii on November 14th.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Oh, whatevs. Oh,
thanks for the invite.
Yeah.
Well, you guys said you'd never go back to Kauai again, so we're going because we missed part of it.
Yeah.
And because they sent us like a coupon to get a really good deal.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Just for the record, I need a Rooster wine glass again because mine broke. Just hint.
Right. Duly noted.
A rooster wine glass.
Yeah, because there's roosters all over the island. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, chickens. All kinds of chickens.
I just like
everywhere.
Roosters.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that's I just appreciate you coming out and sharing, Peter. I appreciate your transparency. I appreciate your willingness to grow and, you know, go through the knocks that sometimes come through. And you know, you're ultimately the people that we're looking for. You know,
absolutely.
People that aren't going to quit, who are committed, who aren't going to be, you know, the fair weather friends, if you will, you know, when, you know, stuff hits, you know, hard. You've risen to the occasion, and so I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for your loyalty and your commitment to us and to the club and to the students. And you know, despite how you may have felt over the last few months and just being in stuff, you know, you haven't packed up and skipped town, if you will.
Yeah, so. I was just going to ask. I think that, like, in order to tie this up, Pete, if I would say to you, like, you know, we just identified that you've been in a valley, and the valley was being in overwhelm mode, right? Overwhelmed by too many tasks to do, too many places to be, only one of you, only 24 hours. And then we were able to have a conversation. If you could, like, if you could give us the takeaway, right? The one takeaway, or maybe two takeaways, whatever, however you want to put it. But if you could give us a takeaway, because I know plenty of people get stuck in the overwhelm mode. And if you could give us, just for you, like, what's the takeaway for you that you, you know, that to get out of it? Cause you're obviously out of it. I could see, I was like, oh my gosh, welcome back. You know, even though I see you every day,
right.
I saw you and I said, I hugged you and I was like, oh my God, it's so good to have you back.
Well, that was like what Saturday in class. I was like, it felt good to be back. Like when Tim and I were on stage and taking questions and just kind of having a flow up there. It was like, wow, this is, I miss
powerful.
The takeaway, I think one of the biggest things that resonated with me that day is when, after I kind of threw up on everybody, just in letting all the concerns and things that I'd felt I'd been going through and sharing and feeling that I couldn't share, one of the things that really hit me is when Dave said, like, you know, you really sound like a big victim right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. And in my own mind, like, I had a validity of all of the problems and all of the issues and things. But at the same time, they got solved. Mm. And it was like, you know what? You have a really big point. Like, everything inside of me wanted to, like, rebuttal that and say, but I couldn't. Because it was like, if I heard myself from a non-detached perspective right now, I would say the same thing. Mm. And the takeaway is that you are the result of what you choose to do. Like, the thing that I will attribute to every successful investor at the club, mind you, we come from every possible background you could ever imagine. Like, we call ourselves the home of the misfits.
Yes.
But the one thing that the successful ones have in common, 100%, is that we haven't quit. Like, that's the only thing stopping you from succeeding is you not persevering and pushing forward. And as deceived as I was feeling that I had to do that entirely on my own and it felt that way, I'd be a jerk to say that I was 100% right in being alone and feeling that I couldn't reach out for help. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I told those little voices in the back of my head to, like, sit down and shut up that I could come to a space of saying, hey, I'm over my head. I'm literally walking in quicksand, not because I've fallen, but because there's so many responsibilities that I'm not used to juggling that are weighing me down. Mm-hmm. And just to set one of those down for a minute and reach my hand up and ask for help, it was really easy to actually get pulled out of the mire. But it was that humility of going, hey, this is where I am, and this is where I'm going to stay if I don't do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, that absolutely is the perfect summation of, in my mind, the power of the club. It's the power of relationships, right? That's what we start talking to people about the moment they walk into the club. The most important thing in your life is your relationships. And it's not only your personal relationships at home, it is your relationships that you choose to have inside of your business. And that, for me, is why I absolutely love this club. I love this club full of a bunch of misfits because we literally are all committed to each other. And you're right, every single one of us gets stuck. It's Dave and I are not above getting stuck. And we are not so full of humility that we automatically put our hands up and be like, hey, we're stuck.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's a challenge for every single person to do that. So, but I believe that is what courage does. Courage is admitting when you're in the quicksand, when you're walking in quicksand. And then the beautiful thing is that you have people to literally, there's so many people that, you know, you can lift your hand up to. It's amazing.
Yeah. I do want to just say thank you for, you know, we were just talking about, you know, podcasts and schedule and all that stuff. And yesterday when I was on Facebook, there was a comment from somebody mm-hmm. who said, you know, somebody told me about the club and I was super skeptical about it. And one of the things that their comment was specifically, you know, I went back and I listened to every podcast twice. That's some serious dedication, right? We're 30 something podcasts deep now. And I listened to every podcast twice and it just helped me realize that there are really good people out there who are doing a really good business, who really do want to help people. And, you know, my own skepticism comes from, you know, my background of, you know, there are some not really good people and I've come across some of them and they've hurt me. And I won't mention his name, but, you know, the guy who put that on there, I thought, so there is value in doing all this and there is value and there's people listening. And so this makes it all worthwhile. So I just want to say thank you, Peter.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll call that a wrap. And
wait, I was going to say this. Last thing I want to say, and that is this. That is when people, and I think it's a Mother Teresa poem, right? She says, you know, people hurt you, love them anyway, right? You know, people want to not celebrate your success, right? Do it anyway. I just feel like that's what I want to say. Like, just do it anyway. I feel like that's what this is all about.
Mm. All right. Cool. Well, we'll call it a wrap, and we're going to be, what are we flipping?
We're flipping everything, man. Flipping 5 years in love.
All right. Well, we will catch you guys next week. And next week, we have a really cool podcast.
I know. I'm excited.
It'll be a first.
It will. It will be something you've never heard.
Something you've never heard. Yeah. So catch you guys, I say next week. Actually, in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So with that.
Boswell's out.
Peace.